today.
It's a red, white, support the blue flashback weekend. Flashing back to our favorite interviews with those that have put their lives on the line for their fellow citizens.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Jim Rathman joins us. Jim, of course, been on the show many times. Former Secret Service investigative consultant. His website, jimrathmancompany.com. And we are discussing the Lori Vallow Daybell case. And I want to dive into this and take a look at the ending of this whole thing where the defense said, we rest, we're good, we don't think you proved a strong enough case. Were you surprised by that move at all?
I'm a little surprised overall, it to some extent anyway. I don't really think they have a whole lot that they can go off of at this point. There's certain amounts of evidence that's very incriminating, but what surprised me the most about the defense is I don't know why they didn't put more of the blame onto the brother, as if the brother acted alone, being that he's now deceased and he can't speak. We know that his phone records were the ones that were found in the backyard of Chad Daybell, where the children were found. I don't know why there wasn't more put on that, but they didn't. And, you know, although it's very clear that Lori knows what's going on and Chad and so on, I was just a little taken back that they didn't put more of that blame on the brother. That to me was surprising for attorneys.
That nothing was really brought up. Do you feel like there just was no one that they could have called as a witness to defend Lori at this point that would have made any sense, that wouldn't have been then obliterated by the prosecution on cross? Obviously, putting Lori on the stand would have been a horrible idea. But just that nothing was brought up. I'm kind of surprised by that they also didn't go down any of the roads of Chad possibly being the one, the mastermind, maybe brainwashing her in some of this. Do you feel like maybe they considered those options and just thought that really wouldn't work very well? Or do you think Lori is sitting back there still not wanting to, you know, really go after Chad in that strong of a way? They did bring him up in closing, but you know, he hasn't necessarily been, you know, everything in this.
Right. So, you know, there's a very good question. So when I look at this case, I think the defense attorneys thought about multiple options. Obviously, allowing Lori to go up and testify would not have been a good idea. She would have gotten hammered on cross-examination. So they're not going to let her go up there and talk. We saw how that worked out for Alec Murdaugh. It didn't work out too well for him either. Although I do believe Lori thinks she's probably the smartest person in the room and might be able to outwit everybody, but you know, that's not likely. Mm-hmm. But what I do think with this particular case and these defense attorneys, I think they're just relying on the fact that a lot of this case is circumstantial. There isn't a whole lot of physical evidence. There is a ton of circumstantial evidence. And whenever you have a trial, it's up to the state, up to the prosecutors to prove their case. So as a defense team, they've thrown what they feel is enough to try to divert away from Lori, to kind of poke its little holes where they can and see if that what the prosecutors presented was enough of a jury of their peers to go ahead and convict her, because it really rests on the prosecution to be able to prove their case, not the defense. So I'm wondering if they're putting all their eggs into that basket because that's the only play that they have. But it's not going to work out well. I have no doubts whatsoever that it's going to be a guilty verdict. And I'm 2 hours past due when I thought they would already have the verdict.
So. You have a pool going on?
I was like 2 hours top.
Yeah,
they just took an extended lunch break.
Maybe they just wanted to get lunch and dinner as well, because I know they got pizza the first night. Like, well, let's milk this. We've been here for all this time. Let's get a little extra food. It's going to be an interesting thing to see. Where do you think the future holds for Lori? You know, assuming here we have a guilty verdict, and you know her mental state. There's times where she seems very, very there, and there's times where it seems like, yeah, she's really in delusional land. Is this someone who's going to spend the rest of their life in prison, or do you think she's going to end up in some sort of mental health facility?
That's a really good question. I think she's going to spend her life in prison. I can assure you that anybody that harms children, whether you kill them or do any type of sexual acts or anything like that towards children, are the most hated in any prison system. Mm-hmm. So I think the rest of her life is going to be very, very difficult. You know, I don't, I don't know if she'll be able to get mental health, like as far as being in a mental health facility after this. Mm-hmm. It's possible. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But it'll be really interesting. But I think she's going to prison. I think she's going to remain in prison for the rest of her life without any chance of parole. And I think that at this point, when she's found guilty, it's going to be extremely difficult for Chad Daybell to try to win his case with his trial that's coming up. I wouldn't be surprised if they try working out a last-minute plea.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Jim Rathman with us, and we're going to talk more about the case, including what all of this means for Chad Daybell and his upcoming trial. Could any of the information that came out in Lori's help, or will it hurt his defense as time moves forward? That's coming up. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our discussions. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.